The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Plan Your Estate Radio with your host, San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman. Bob's been practicing law for over 40 years and is certified by the State Bar of California as a legal specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Bob is here to help you set your house in order with valuable insights you can use today to prepare a better tomorrow for your loved ones. And now your host for Plan Your Estate Radio, Attorney Bob Bergman.
I'm back in the saddle again. Welcome, everybody, to the premiere show for 2024 of my return to the airwaves on 1220 AM KDOW. This is your host, estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. I took a brief hiatus after 5 years, stopping in March of last year, and I decided that I wanted to go back on the air, having been kind of rested and refreshed and maybe with a new vision for our time going forward. If you have never heard my show before, welcome. You'll be hearing me every Monday afternoon from 2 to 3 here on KDOW. I used to be on Friday afternoons, but I decided coming back I would rather have Mondays because I would tend to be more fresh if I did the show at the beginning of the week instead of after a whole week has gone by and I was really tired on a Friday afternoon. So what can I say? I'm going to cover a lot of things today. I'm going to spend some time letting you know who I am, what my background is. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Proposition 19, specifically the repeal of Proposition 19. And if you're not familiar with Prop 19, it was passed a few years back by the voters who were lied to. Talked about it back then, haven't changed my opinion today, who were lied to by the proponents. And Proposition 19 basically makes it much harder to pass a residence to children without a reassessment of property tax, and also completely causes the reassessment of rental properties that are passed on to children, 100% reassessment. This has already caused the destruction of many real estate portfolios for families here in the state. It has also caused the forced sale of much real estate, including family homes that the family could not find a way to preserve the exclusion from reassessment because Prop 19's rules were very restrictive and have caused a lot of loss of family homes, including family homes that may have been occupied here in California for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, but the family could not afford to keep them because the property taxes may have gone up by 100, 200, 500, 1,000% or more. So the Harvest Chan people, the ones who brought us Proposition 13, the original Proposition 13 that froze the crazy increases in property tax that were going on many, many years ago. They have an initiative. They need signatures for that initiative. We have until a week from tomorrow, 16th of January, to get petitions in. They're trying to get 1 million more signatures in before next Tuesday, in order to get the proposition on the ballot to repeal the part of Proposition 19 that impacts families with their homes and with their rental properties. One of the problems with having property taxes go up on rental properties is that tends to lead to rents going up as well, because owners of properties expect to make a profit. They expect to not be landlords just for free. And it's especially going to be a problem in places like San Francisco. Any place that has rent control, that causes a problem as well right there. If the property taxes go up by 1,000% from $4,000 or $5,000 to $24,000, $25,000, $30,000, and they cannot raise the rents to cover that increase, we're going to see a lot of the housing market decline over time. Rental properties will start becoming fewer and far between. Rentals will often be taken off the market because of that. And some of them, they will not have the money coming in to actually maintain properties properly. So that's a big issue. Now, if you happen to think that Proposition 19 was a mistake like I do, then go to my website at www.lawbob.com and then /repeal Prop 19. You can also go to the website, look in the menu and see Repeal Prop 19. Go there, look it up. I talk a little bit about it there, but you can actually click on a link so you can download, print, sign, and return the petition to the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. That's the organization that's sponsoring this. I will emphasize, if you do that, make sure that even if you sign the petition, make sure you fill out the very bottom of the petition, because it's required that whoever obtained the signatures on the petition has to fill their information out at the bottom. Even if you're the only one signing, fill out the bottom as well. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but follow the instructions precisely to make sure it will be accepted. You have to be a registered voter, and you would fill out in the petition the county where you actually live as the county where you're a registered voter. So that means if you're a non-citizen, you can't fill out this petition. If you are a citizen but haven't bothered to register to vote, you can't really fill out the petition either, because they'll be checking every signature to make sure it corresponds with a registered voter in the county you indicated on the form when you fill it out. So that's what I'm going to suggest there. If you opposed Prop 19, here's another chance to get it on the ballot for November and maybe get it repealed so that we can turn back to the prior law, which was in effect for over 35 years and passed overwhelmingly by the voters of the state when it went into effect, Proposition 58, and then also Proposition 193, dealing with transfers between grandparents and grandchildren. That was another big one, too. Those were all thrown out by Prop 19, and, you know, that's a huge problem. So please go to my website, click through, read about it. If you agree, download, print out, sign and return. In fact, if you have neighbors, friends, whatever, colleagues at work, coworkers, everything else, print out a bunch of them, get them distributed to people, get their signatures, fill out as the submitter, and mail them back in. Okay? So when we come back after the break, I will be giving a little bit of an explanation about who I am. And so I want you to kind of stay tuned after the break.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio
with San Jose estate planning attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back. You know how sometimes muscle memory is very important? You just kind of remember how to do something like riding a bicycle or driving a car, things like that. In my case, I didn't listen to my muscle memory as to when the first segment of the show ended today. And I made the mistake of looking up at my atomic clock on the wall, which turned out to be wrong. So I stopped talking when there was still time left in the first segment. So I apologize for that. It will never happen again. I promise that I will punish myself afterwards. Probably, I don't know, hit myself over the head or something like that. But it will not happen again. So welcome to the second segment of the show back here, 2024, starting off a new year and a new run of Plan Your Estate Radio. I thought I would take this opportunity, especially if you're new, to let you know a little bit about just who I am. First of all, I'm Bob Bergman, Robert P. Bergman, and I am an estate planning attorney. That's all I do as an attorney. My practice is in San Jose, California, in the Cambrian Park neighborhood, if you're familiar with that part of San Jose, kind of tucked between Willow Glen neighborhood and the city of Campbell, on Ross Avenue, just south of Hillsdale Avenue. If you know the area, I'm in the medical dental buildings that are right there across from the fire station and the Target Plaza that's at that intersection. I am married. My wife, Jennifer, is also an attorney. She's a labor and employment litigation and counseling attorney. That's what she does. I have two daughters, twins, Giovanna, or Gigi, and Sabrina, who are sophomores in high school right now at Notre Dame High School in San Jose. And if you ever want to contact me and ask me what I think of Notre Dame High School, you can always email me at rpb@lawbob.com. By the way, that is my website, lawbob.com. Law, I practice law. Bob, that's my name, Law Bob. Real easy to remember. And I actually created my first website in 1999. Using Microsoft Front Page. No, that's not an endorsement. They don't make that product anymore. And so in internet years, it's kind of like the equivalent of a brick-and-mortar company founded in 1750 or something like that. So I've been on the internet for about 24 years, and I'm a very big fan of using technology. I use technology in my practice all the time. My calendaring system and my appointment system is all technology. I use technology when I draft estate plans so I can get very, very specific custom drafted plans for my clients. And that's just something I'll share. And I'll be sharing more of that in the weeks and months to come of just what I do as an estate planning attorney. I'm a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, which means I'm certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. That means that this is all I do as an attorney, is estate planning. I'm a member of Wealth Council for many years now, I think over 16 years now, a national organization of estate planning attorneys. They're at wealthcounsel.com, or estateplanning.com, which is our consumer portal for Wealth Council members. We have about 7,000 or 8,000 law firms across the country, and I am very proud of my Wealth Council membership. It's enabled me to interact and work with and meet hundreds of attorneys across the country and share planning ideas, share situations, provide assistance to them, and get assistance from them as well. It's kind of like being an attorney in a law firm with hundreds and hundreds of estate planning attorneys. So even though I'm what's called a solo or sole practitioner, I do not really practice on my own because I have access to the resources of Wealth Counsel. I'm a former speaker on estate planning with the Foundation for Personal Financial Education and the Financial Knowledge Institute. I did that for quite some time. I was a columnist back in the day with the Times Media newspapers in Santa Clara County and India Parent magazine here in Santa Clara County. And my background includes being a real estate broker and formal general counsel for Century 21 Ladd Realty in the Santa Clara Valley. And I held Series 7 and 66 securities licenses and a California life insurance license. I also was a financial planner for MetLife Financial Services. And for 2.5 to 3 years, I was a vice president and business development officer for Comerica Bank Institutional Trust Department. So besides being an estate planning attorney, I have a lot of background in financial services, securities, annuities, mutual funds, and life insurance, even long-term care insurance. I don't practice in those areas anymore. That may change going forward in the future. But right now, I strictly focus on estate planning as an attorney. So I'm going to share some more about some of the specific things I do later on in the show. But I want to reiterate, if you just joined the show, check out my website at lawbob.com/repeal prop 19, where I have a discussion of Proposition 19 and the efforts to put an initiative on the November ballot to repeal the aspects of Proposition 19 that were very, very reprehensible and have already caused tremendous hardship to many hundreds and maybe even thousands of families here in California that had a family residence and or rental properties and saw their property taxes go up by 100, 200, 500, 1,000% just because a parent died. And to me, that's probably one of the most reprehensible things in the world is having taxes go up just because a parent died. And it can cause devastation to a family if they suddenly have to turn around and now come up with thousands and thousands of more dollars. Okay, so we're coming up on the mid-show break, and I urge you to stay as I continue on the other side. This is estate planning attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio, and we're going to go for a commercial break now.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose estate planning attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
Hi, welcome back to the third segment of our show today. And what I'm going to do in this segment is reintroduce a feature of my previous show, which is questions and comments from around the state of California. Now, what this segment is I'm going to go through a number of actual situations that I have access to where people are asking questions about various types of estate planning topics. And I kind of introduce the situation, roughly where it is in the state, and then I give my opinion about what I'm reading, what people are asking about. Maybe some potential solutions or some issues that may be raised based on what people said. Now, here's one out of Temecula, California. And the person said, my husband passed away a couple of weeks ago. One of his investment accounts will not give me any information about the account except that it exists. I provided them with his death certificate, copies of our trust, will, small estate affidavit, and community property agreement. They were initially demanding a letter from probate, which would be letters testamentary, which we're not doing because it's all held in trust. Now they're saying it's, quote, their policy to obtain letters testamentary. I don't want to incur additional legal fees to provide them with an unnecessary letter just because it's, quote, how they do it. Now, this actually introduces a lot of things into this situation. There's a lot of moving parts. Without more specific information, it's hard to respond to what these people could do. I will say this. If the value of the investment account in the husband's name only, that's the implication here, if the total assets in his individual name are less than $184,500, then the wife should be able to use the small estate affidavit as the executor of her husband's will to have that account turned over to her as the trustee of their trust. If a small estate affidavit didn't work, the implication is that there's too much in that investment account. There's more than that $184,500. Now, I'm making an assumption there. I will say that if there's less than that and the investment account people are refusing to turn it over, well, then they're acting contrary to law here in California. They have to turn it over. If they provided an appropriate affidavit with all the documentation, they have to turn it over. This is not them deciding that there's some extra requirement that's needed because it's the way they always do it. I'd say the likelihood is that the investment company is not in California. They're doing business in California, but they're probably in another state, and they either don't know or don't care to find out what their obligations are as someone doing business in the state of California. This is not an uncommon problem. If it's more than that amount, I would ask this wife here, is that account listed anywhere in your trust or a schedule of assets of the trust, or do you have a general assignment of assets into the trust, either including that specific investment account or including investment accounts as a general rule in order to be turned over to the trust? If that's the case, then the wife could go to court, file what's called a Hegstat petition, which you'll be hearing me talk about off and on going forward. It's one of the things I regularly do, helping families get loose assets into a trust after someone's died. Commonly, it's real estate, but it can also be large brokerage accounts, significant bank accounts, all those kinds of things. It's a petition going to the court and saying, hey, judge, we have proof that this asset or these assets in this person's name were intended to be part of their trust or part of the trust they had with their spouse, and we have written evidence of that. That's important. Written evidence of that. And so, judge, everybody who's affected is all on board with this. They all agree it should be in the trust so the trust can distribute it. So, judge, please sign a court order declaring that that piece of real estate or those bank accounts or those brokerage accounts or even that retirement plan, because something I do with my planning is I always identify in an assignment of assets if someone has a retirement plan or a life insurance policy where there is a failure of beneficiaries, meaning that they named a beneficiary, but that beneficiary already died before the owner died, I make sure that those are directed to somebody's trust so that we can ask the court to turn them over to somebody's trust. The alternative is taking those assets and using the person's will, typically called a pour-over will, because it's designed to take assets, put them through the probate process, and then turn them over or pour them over into somebody's trust. So with a Hegstat petition, we don't have to go through the whole probate process as long as it's eligible. So I'd ask this wife, tell me about these accounts. Were they identified anywhere? Is there anything that indicates they were intended to be part of the trust, even though they were in your husband's name? There's a lot of moving parts here, and there's a lot more information that would be needed. But I can tell you that if the value is too much, then either it's going to have to go through probate using the will, the long, expensive probate process, or if there's sufficient written documentation of intent, then that means the wife should be able to go through the court with a Hegstat petition, which I do a lot of. I probably do 25 to 30 of those a year, helping families with this situation. And that would actually solve the problem without having to open up a probate to get letters testamentary. That's what the investment people are looking for. Okay. So here's one that kind of deals with the, Proposition 19 issue. Fresno, California. Person says, I was left 20 acres of land through a trust. My grandparents purchased this land in 1976, so their property tax rate is very low. It's mostly unused farmland, has a nearly 50-year-old manufactured home that's still livable. My father, their only child, is still alive, and that makes, it's my understanding, this makes me ineligible to submit the grandparent-to-grandchild reassessment exclusion. That is true. It says, my father, my sister, and I are in this trust. I assume that means, but it says here this person's the only one receiving the 20 acres from the grandparents. Well, that was not really good planning by the grandparents. Whoever prepared their trust for them, even under the prior law, it would have been bad planning. Under Proposition 19, it doesn't matter. The property tax is going to be reassessed. But with proper planning under the prior law, it could have been left in trust for this person's father. And then when the father died, had it go on to the child, the grandchild, and had that qualify for a parent-to-child transfer to the father, then another parent-to-child transfer to the grandchild, which could have avoided property tax reassessment entirely. And that's under the prior law, Prop 58. So I'm going to cover in the final segment today, I'm going to cover some more of these questions and comments from around the state, because I've found that a lot of times people hear these and they go, oh, I have a situation like that, or I have a friend that has a situation like that. And they think, well, maybe I can contact Bob Bergman and he might be able to help the family. And besides educating everyone, obviously I'm interested in bringing in new clients into my practice. And this is one of the ways I do it, is by giving people education that is going to help them in dealing with many of these situations. So as I'm looking here, we've got about a minute left in this segment. So let me just touch on probate code 850 petition, which is basically the Hegstat petition I've already mentioned. Here's someone said, I'm the beneficiary to a trust. There's a bank account I believe belongs to the trust. There is a power of will that designated the trust as the beneficiary of all the assets in the name of the settlor, that's the person who created the trust. I'm not the trustee. However, the current trustee took the bank assets as stated they have proof the account was theirs to take. Do I have standing as a beneficiary of the trust to file an 850 petition to determine ownership of that account? The shorter answer is yes, but there may not be sufficient written documentation to support a Hegstat petition. So we'll be back after this final break for the final segment of the show. We'll talk with you then.
Now, back to Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Hi, welcome back to the final segment of the show today. And I think I'm going to wrap up the show with some more of those questions and comments from around the state of California. And let's see here. Here's one out of Los Angeles. And this is primarily a likely a family law question, but there's some overlap with estate planning. This person said, after my husband and I married, we bought a house in California. The house title is only in my husband's name, a married man as his sole and separate property. My name does not appear on the title. Start first by asking what was the purpose of that. But that aside, person says, I have not signed any documents to abandon my community property rights, such as a quitclaim deed. I know California is a state that implements community property rights. Can my husband sell the house without my approval? The short answer is yes. The broader answer is maybe not. And for someone like this, I'd say you really should consult with a family lawyer. I'd like to figure out why it is that the spouse's name is not on the title and just the husband's name is on the title. When I hear things like that, it's very concerning to me, especially if it's acquired during the marriage, unless it was acquired with the husband's own separate assets, his own separate wealth. And then he bought the house and put it in his name, a married man, his sole and separate property. That would be perfectly proper to do that. And community property law does not really genuinely figure into that. So that may not actually apply at all. But that being said, probably a family lawyer would be able to better answer the question. You know, I wish I could say that's because I have dentures, but I don't. You know, let me see if I can straighten my teeth. And there we go. Maybe I won't trip over the next few words. So that would be probably a family lawyer question to ask the more specifics about what rights, if any, you may have and whether or not your spouse can just sell that property without your permission. Shorter answer is probably so, but I would need a lot more information. Now, here's something that's very concerning to me, and it may actually be a form of elder financial abuse I'm talking about here. Person out of Sacramento says, my sister coerced my dad into signing a durable power of attorney, naming her as his agent. He then wanted to revoke the power of attorney he gave to her. He wrote a letter revoking her power of attorney, wrote revoked on the power of attorney document, and signed and dated it. The problem is he didn't have the documents notarized because my sister, who has the power of attorney, confiscated his legal ID and refused to return it to him. Is that legal? Probably not. Probably not legal to steal someone's legal ID. Now, there's nothing to stop him going to the DMV and getting another legal ID, getting his license reissued, or if he's a senior ID card. That can actually be done pretty quickly. But the sister is claiming that her power of attorney is guaranteed and cannot be revoked by the father since she refused to return his ID. First of all, he could go and sign a revocation of the power of attorney, and there are other ways for him to sign a document and have it notarized. You can have a proof of subscribing witness. In other words, there are other ways in the notary law. He could have people that knew him and a notary that knows what they're doing prepare a notarization in such a way that he can sign the document and other people can attest that he is who he says he is. And then they turn around and they sign the notary journal. So if the sister thinks that by stealing his ID, he's dead in the water, that's not true. I'm speaking as a notary. I just started my 11th or 12th notary commission. They're four-year commission. So I've been a notary over 44 years, I guess. So I'm on my 12th commission, 44 years. And I can tell you there are ways to notarize a document if somebody has no hands. There are ways to notarize a document if someone can't sign their name. So there's a lot of ways a document can be notarized to revoke that power of attorney. So that's what I would say to them. I would say you can do it. You need a notary that knows how to do it with subscribing witnesses or something similar to that. Okay, well, we're coming up on the end of our show today. I'll tell you what, it's good to be back on the air. I kind of missed the show, and I had a number of people over the last several months who were contacting me and saying, oh, I heard your show, and oh, I'm so sad you're not on the air anymore. Well, hopefully they all know now I'm back on the air, and some of them are listening today because I told them about it. But please spread the word. I'm on every Monday afternoon from 2 to 3. And if you want to deal with Prop 19, getting it repealed, go to my website, lawbob.com/repeal Prop 19. That's 19, Prop 19. Okay, we'll see you next week, and you have a great week.
You've been listening to Plan Your Estate Radio with estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. For more information on today's program or to schedule a consultation, visit lawbob.com, L-A-W-B-O-B, lawbob.com. Or call his office in San Jose, 408-247-0444. That's 408-247-0444. And be sure to tune in next week for more Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of this station and are for informational purposes only and should not be construed to be legal, financial, or tax advice. Seek appropriate legal advice regarding your particular situation. Attorney Bob Bergman does not offer any guarantees with regard to the outcome of your legal matter. Prior results in other cases do not guarantee a similar outcome in your case. All rights reserved.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.